the Word of God, living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of the United Reformed Church here in Linden, as we go to the Word of God, here's our pastor, Chris Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. If you were with us yesterday, you know we began our study of evangelism and looking at our current Christian culture and what has resulted by looking at what happened in the past, the consequences of what happened in the past when Christianity became marketed as if it were a product and the person a commodity and the consumer even. Well, let's explain for a minute just how great the dilemma is. As I raised the issue yesterday, many of the current methods of evangelism are still a carryover from the revivalistic approaches of the 19th and the 20th centuries. There was a certain approach to evangelism that was pioneered by a man named Charles G. Finney. Between the years 1830 and 1850, Finney was a defrocked Presbyterian minister. He began to push for what he called new measures. And that included what was called the anxious bench, basically the precursor to the altar call. Finney did not believe that man was totally depraved, and I quote, he said, moral depravity, as I use the term, does not consist in nor imply a sinful nature in the sense that a human soul is sinful in itself. It is not a constitutional sinfulness, Finney said. Uh-oh, bad starting point. You deny original sin, the doctrine of original sin, you end up with a mess. It's the starting point. He believed, in turn, then, that you needed to work on the will of man since it's not inherently sinful. So preaching became focused on manipulating emotions and putting intense pressure on people to come forward to what was called the anxious bench and make a decision for Jesus Christ. People would come forward to this bench. It would be placed in the front of the church. They would weep, they would mourn, and they would make a decision for Jesus. It was one of the first times in history where people were looking for something visibly that showed, that could be proved, that salvation occurred outwardly through an act of man. Well, it worked. It was highly successful. Thousands came forward to make a decision for Jesus. What is not talked about, however, in the Christian history books are the long-term fruits of this. Already in Finney's time, a fellow laborer after the revival wrote a letter to Finney in 1834 making this observation, and I quote, "Let us look over the fields where you and others have labored as revival ministers and what is now their moral state. What was their state within 3 months after we left them? I have visited and revisited many of these fields and groaned in spirit to see the sad, frigid, contentious, carnal state into which the churches had fallen. And fallen very soon after we had first departed from them." The problem that resulted was, of course, a fascination with numbers. And I said yesterday, if it's an artificial, just like the parable of the sower, somebody who gets immediately excited about the word and endures only for a time, if it's artificial, you're going to see them drop off. Nothing genuine had ever occurred. So what resulted, though, in the church and in the minds of many people, many gospel preachers, and many pressures that resulted that we've never overcome is a fascination with numbers. And I've always said, if you are fascinated with numbers, go study John 6, where there Jesus shrunk his church from 5,000 to 12. He was so offensive, everyone left him. How to shrink your church? Jesus, John 6. Well, it was reported under Finney's ministry that over 500,000 people had come forward to this anxious bench. And great pressure developed to match that. So in the next century, you had the Billy Sundays and the Billy Grahams who would do these crusades and open-air preaching. And great obsession came with this. The mass numbers of those whom we could get to make a decision for Jesus. What we're learning with the Billy Graham Crusades is that the whole thing, of course, was artificially designed. There were people queued to walk the aisles when Just As I Am was played, hopefully to get others to come and make that decision. And those at the front leading these people to Christ were volunteers unknown to Billy Graham and his crusade. Any Joe off the street could stand up there and do this. Well, what do you think happened in the 19th and the 20th centuries? Well, we're all programmed now to think, because of this, that what Christianity is, what evangelism is just getting people to say yes to Jesus. Just getting them to make a personal decision for Jesus. And that's it. And from there, it developed into whatever methods and means we could conjure up to make that happen. Now, we don't have to look very far to see what the sons of the anxious bench, who they are and what they've done today. Christianity today has become a product. Today in churches all over, we simply have an updated form of what Finney introduced and Graham pioneered. It's still being practiced in the local church to some degree. I recently heard a series by a Saddleback Model Church, and the way it was pitched was basically, if you try God out, we promise you satisfaction guaranteed. Now, I'm used to this, my friends, guarantee language when I buy something at the store that will benefit me. For instance, the other day I saw this very claim advertised on a teeth whitening product. Satisfaction guaranteed. I was interested because, of course, prolonged coffee drinking has darkened my teeth. So the first thing I did was check the price. That stuff's expensive, you know? If they really want to sell me the product, the prices have to be slashed. I'm looking for the Safeway discount, club discount. Further, I expect it to work for what I have determined is my need. Now, since this marketing strategy is so common in the church, we should ask what happens when God Himself is marketed this way. Well, as the marketer, you have to please the customer. You have to sell the product. And you cannot identify your product with anything, with any of those things that the consumer might find offensive or unattractive. Both, now hear this, have to be packaged for their use. Because, well, that's how products sell. So certainly as heirs of Finney, guess what's out? Sin. Hell's out. Can't talk about that. Not going to want to offend anyone. And if you don't believe you're a wretch and totally depraved, well, then what is your biggest problem? What is the great pitch of these churches today? Well, the great pitch and what they're selling, the product they're selling, is that people just aren't reaching their full potential in life, and we can help you do that. And you have seen this in Christian bookstores. Christian bookstores today, the state of them is just horrid. The books, the self-help guides are just terrible. Is this what Christianity is this boiled down to? Is this how mindless we are? We are immersed with self-help stuff. Having your best life now. What we're selling are solutions to the consequences and symptoms of sin. That's such an important point. What we're selling are solutions and consequences to the symptoms of sin, as if our job is just to help people get off the drugs, kick the alcohol, and have happy marriages. And in all of this, Jesus simply becomes a savior of your circumstances. If you accept Jesus, you can have your best life now. Forget the life of suffering the Bible presents. You can have your best life now. Prosperous and happy. Well, all of that is a time bomb. There's no life in that, of course. I raise this dilemma today because I want to put us in the shoes of the average Joe who's never heard about Christianity or who's heard about Christianity but has been introduced to this kind of stuff. What most likely has he been introduced to today, and what is Joe's world like? Well, let me play Joe for a minute, and then we'll close for today and come back to this tomorrow. I'm playing Joe. I can't make sense of this all. Last week, this is a true story. Vacuum cleaner salesman came to my door, wanted to sell me a vacuum, wanted to come into my house, clean a room, and sell me a $2,500 vacuum. I say no. It's hard to get the guy off my doorstep, you know? Well, he just says, I'll cut the price in half. So I don't know how the guy can cut down a vacuum from 2,500 to 1,200, but he just did it. He's got another guy with him, and I look at the vacuum, and the first thing I think is, that thing's hot. I've been burned too many times on chicaners like this, by chicaners like this. So after about 30 no's, I get him finally off my doorstep. Next day, a guy called a Mormon comes to my door. Sweet guy, nice guy, who wants to convert me to Mormonism. But everyone out there has told me that's not a good thing. I've never met anyone nicer than him. A month ago, it was a Jehovah's Witness guy. Just saw that Roman Catholics now are calling everyone home. I just got off work. I'm in sales. The economy is in the tank, and I've dealt with nothing but complaining customers who, if I don't get it right, they will be furious. Next door neighbor Mike invites me to his big Christian megachurch. I know what that's like. All they want me to do is make a decision for Jesus, and everything will just be great. I'm not so sure about the realness of it, of course. It's all too big business. Why do I feel that they're trying to sell me something? If I just try out God, it'll work out for me. I know what he's like in his home, though. Last night, I go to my car and tucked under my windshield is under windshield wipers a tract saying that if I don't repent, I'm going to burn in hell forever. You see their world? Everything is constantly coming at people, and they have no idea of what's genuine today. They've been programmed to think it's all insincere. Their guard is up just as yours is with any salesman who comes to the door. Point? People today are treated as nothing but a commodity. And the Christianity they have most likely been exposed to is powerless, only focusing on symptoms. David Wells says it this way. There have just been too many instances of obnoxious empire building, too much in evangelicalism that is partisan and small, too much pandering to seekers, too much adaptation of the Christian message until nothing remains. Too many leaders have been disgraced. There have been too many venial television preachers, too many of the born again who show no signs of a regenerate life. For many people, the word evangelical has become a synonym for what is trite, superficial, and money-grubbing. I say all this today, you know, it really burdens my heart and saddens me. I don't say this to be hard and hypercritical of everything going on. I say this because it burdens me, because it's not the design the Lord gave. And because of the consequences of all this history that has come before us, and this approach and this fascination with numbers and treating people like commodities, we have to really start rethinking our dilemma. Is it really true you're going to come across someone today who's never heard about Jesus? More often than not, you see, we are in a post-Christian culture. You're dealing with people who've been presented with a false Jesus or a false message or an artificial form of Christianity that denies its power. And I believe that because of this, what the future is going to hold is mass disillusionment with the church. Just look at Europe today. The challenge is all the more amplified when you want to present in sincerity the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I raise all this today so that we would rethink our dilemma in a post-Christian culture and rethink how we are approaching people. They need to see sincerity. They need to see realness. They need to see the true life-transforming power of Christ in us that they would want and desire what we have. Abounding Grace Radio is a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. So glad that you've tuned in today. Till another edition of Abounding Grace, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.